pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity this morning to gather together around your word and the opportunity to remember Jesus as we gather around his table. We pray that as we turn to your word now, you would open our hearts afresh, that we might see the significance of Jesus. And we ask for his sake. Amen. Do sit down. In April 1980, the BBC reported on the radio that Big Ben, in order to keep up with the times, was going to be given a digital readout. Well, the announcement shocked listeners who protested against the change. Burger King published a full advertisement in USA Today in early 1998. The advert announced a new item on their menu, the left-handed Whopper sandwich. This would be especially designed for the 32 million left-handed Americans. The new burger included the same ingredients as the old Whopper, but the contents were to be rotated 180 degrees. Thousands of customers went into restaurants to request the new sandwich, whilst many others said that they still wanted the old right-handed version. Newspaper headlines all over the world announced in spring 1972 that the dead body of the Loch Ness Monster had been found. A team of zoologists from Flamingoland Zoo just up the road were at Loch Ness searching for proof of Ness's existence, and they said that they discovered a carcass floating in the water the day before. The initial reports claimed it weighed a ton and a half and was 15 and a half feet long. Upon inspection, Nessie turned out to be a bull elephant seal. The zoo's education officer confessed that he'd been responsible for placing the body in Loch Ness. The seal had died the week before and had its whiskers shaved off. Its cheeks had been padded with stones and it had been kept frozen. And then it had been dumped in the loch. Well, the seal's body was displayed at Flamingoland for a few days afterwards as a tourist attraction. Well, all these stories appeared on radio or in newspapers on, you've guessed it, the 1st of April. They were all April Fool's stories. They were attempts to trick people in a funny way to take people in or to con them. Well, our Bible reading this morning is a warning against being taken in or tricked, not in a jokey way, but in a very serious way. So we read Colossians 2 verse 8, "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ." See, the Apostle Paul wrote to these people who had become Christians sometime before to say, don't be tricked, don't be taken in. Some people were saying that believing in Jesus wasn't enough, that what you needed was something else as well as Jesus, some special ritual to go through or some special spiritual experience to have. But actually, says Paul, these are tricks. They are just human traditions or seemingly impressive arguments. But actually, they come from a negative spiritual source. What you need is Jesus and to stick with him. Now we're going to focus on three realities that Paul speaks about. Things that are true for those who believe in Jesus and have turned back to him and come to receive his undeserved love. Paul says, if these things are true through Jesus, why would you need to look anywhere else than to him? Well, it's not a pleasant thought for a Sunday morning, but the Bible tells us that without Jesus, everyone is dead to God. We are unable to connect with God, and there's nothing that we can do to change this. We read verse 13 of Colossians 2, "And you were dead in your trespasses." Our trespasses are our sins, the way we cross lines that God set for what is good, the ways we break his laws, the ways that we fall short of what he made us to be, and all because we've personally turned away from the true and living God. And this means that spiritually speaking, we are dead. And you were dead in your trespasses. But God has provided a way for the situation to change. So we read, "And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him." As Easter reminds us and as baptism illustrates, Jesus died physically on the cross, but God the Father raised him physically. So those who admit they've been wrong about God and receive what he offers in Jesus can be made alive, spiritually speaking. Because of Jesus, Christians are now connected to God. They can know God as a heavenly Father, all through Jesus, who himself physically died and rose again. So if this is true, Paul is saying, why would anyone need to add anything to Jesus? God has made those who believe in Jesus alive spiritually. So don't be tricked. Don't start to live and think as if you can find spiritual life anywhere else other than in Jesus. And there's a second reality brought about through Jesus. Back in November, it was reported by the Money Advice Service that Hull is the number one debt hotspot for the country. 43% of the area's population, it said, are struggling with debt. In the UK as a whole, around 9 million people are said to be over-indebted. That is, they have fallen at least 3 months behind with their bills in the last 6 months, or that they feel that their debts are a heavy burden. But sadly, only one in six is getting help to break free from their debt. Well, the Bible tells us that we human beings have an even more serious debt problem than struggling to pay our credit card bills. Verse 14 of our reading speaks of the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. We've all been made by God and to belong to him. And he wants us to keep his laws. As we all recognize, though, when we're honest, we fall short of living as we should. We get into debt with the pure and holy God. We are over-indebted in so many ways. Over weeks, months and years, we build up an enormous debt and we can't pay it off by anything that we might try to do. We are in a desperate situation. But God has provided a way for that situation to change. For those who turn back to God and receive new life in Jesus, we read that Jesus forgives all our trespasses by cancelling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. Through his death in our place on the cross, as we remember this morning in Holy Communion, Jesus pays the price of our debts for us. His life was perfect and never fell short. He always kept God's laws and never got into debt himself with God. And when he died, he cancelled the debts of those who will believe in him. He pays off the debt for others, that their debts need no longer be a heavy burden. We read that Jesus has set aside or taken away our debt to God, nailing it to the cross. So Jesus has provided the help we most need. He has dealt with our debts, our sins, our trespasses, and brought forgiveness by taking them away. So those who believe in Jesus are free of debt to God. The cost has been paid. So if this is true, why would anyone need to add anything to Jesus? God has forgiven those who believe in Jesus. The way to him is open and free. Don't be tricked. Don't start to live and think as if you need to do something to gain forgiveness or look anywhere else other than Jesus and what he has done in his death that cancels debts with God. Well, there's a third and final reality to consider. As we sit here, we're only a few miles away from about 1,000 men who are held captive in prison. Everthorpe and Wold's prisons house hundreds of men who have been found guilty of crimes for which it's been decided they should be locked up. They're men who have broken the law and who are said to be not able to be trusted in an open prison, but they're those who are unlikely to escape. Well, people in prison might not be chained physically these days, but they have been deprived of their freedom. They are captives. Well, the Bible tells us that without Jesus, we are all captives. Captive to false ideas, captive to bad habits, captive ultimately to what our reading calls empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world. Now, what Paul speaks of here are negative spiritual forces which are against God, forces which influence people and which we human beings alone cannot overcome. But God has provided a way for this situation to change. For those who turn back to God and receive new life in Jesus, we read that Jesus, verse 15, disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. You see, through his death on the cross, Jesus has not only won forgiveness for his people, but he has beaten the negative evil forces in the world. He has taken away their ultimate power, even if they still cause trouble now and then. Ultimately, evil has been beaten, and one day when Jesus returns, it will be completely removed. Jesus has, like a winning military leader, led these evil forces in a procession where they are seen to be defeated through the cross. Jesus has provided the help that we most need then. He has dealt with negative spiritual forces and beaten them. Those who believe in Jesus can be free. Now, if this is true, why would anyone need to add anything to Jesus? Those who believe in Jesus are on the winning side and have been set free. So don't be tricked. Don't start to live and think as if you need to look anywhere else other than Jesus and what he has done in his death to bring freedom and victory over evil. Well, we began with those funny tricks that people tried to play on others on April Fool's Day. But we've seen how the Bible warns us seriously not to be tricked by wrong ideas. So if you're a Christian, don't be tempted to underplay the greatness of Jesus and what he has done in his death and resurrection. Don't be tricked into adding something to Jesus or taking away from what he has done. For in him is spiritual life. In him is the cancelling of our debts. And in him is victory over evil, which brings freedom. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus and all that you have accomplished in him. We pray that you would guard our minds and our hearts. Help us to keep focused on him. We thank you for what he has done, and we pray that you would strengthen us in these truths. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.